Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Bitter Comics Podcast. Here's your host, the serial killer of comedy, J.T. Foreman.
Hello, and welcome to episode 56 of Bitter Comics. I am J.T. Foreman, and I am here with my good friend, Stephen Mintz. I should have come up with a good name. I always forget that. Well, that's the traditional thing, is that I try to introduce people and come up with a good nickname for them on the spot, and I never come up with a good one.
Well, I never listen to the show, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, well, that's okay. No one else listens to the show either. This is just an exercise in verbal masturbation for me, basically. Well, hello. And like I said, I am J.T. Foreman. Welcome to episode 56 of Bitter Comics. We begin once again with our opening segment. J.T. was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. So, for my insensitivity in episode 55, I would like to apologize to black people, Roger Orozco's backyard, nipples, all drag royalty, not just the queens.
Kings as well.
Kings and princes and the jack, whatever that is.
And the serfs.
And the thirfs. Thirfs up! Woohoo!
Hey!
And Red Wings.
Red Wings?
Yes, I feel I owe an apology to Red Wings.
How did you upset Red Wings?
I don't have one.
Okay.
I haven't got my Red Wings, so maybe they're feeling neglected or unwanted.
You don't have your Red Wings?
I don't have my Red Wings.
Isn't that like a form of maxi pad? What the hell is a red... What?
You don't know what a Red Wing is?
Is that the Red Bull gives you wings?
No.
No, what's...
Red Wing is having gone down on a girl during her period.
Oh, well, everybody's done that. You don't. That's not Red Wings.
I was under the impression that was called Red Wings.
No. Clown Mouth.
That's Clown Mouth?
Yeah, when you come up and you look like a clown.
Oh, okay.
You get the big smile, yeah.
All right. Clown Mouth. Okay, well, I apologize to Clown Mouths.
All right, good.
How about that?
You've never done that, huh?
Nope, never done that.
Wow.
Which, that is what is referred to as Red Wings made it really surprise me that there is actually a professional sports team called the Red Wings.
Yeah, that's why I was...
Exactly. I was like, wow, that's pretty bold.
Yeah, they throw octopi on the ice in Detroit for the Red Wings.
Yeah.
For every time they score. Every time you score, you have to wash your couch cushions, I noticed.
Yes, exactly.
Which are red.
Orange, really.
Well, whatever.
They're orange. I do have this big orange couch.
I can't tell. I'm thrown off because we're sitting in your beautiful studio here, underneath a fan, naked. And does everybody do this naked?
Just so you know, the fan is what is naked.
You
can hear them in the background cheering. Yay! There's the naked fan we have over here. No, actually, this is just special for you. I thought we should do the podcast naked. I've heard us compared to each other.
Well,
on occasion.
Neither one of us has seen our penises in 10 years.
Yeah, well, we're both chubby 40-year-old white dudes with glasses.
Yes.
Just, you know, physically and, you know, age-wise and all that, we do have some similarities. But I think that's really where the similarities stop.
Absolutely, because you're having sex and I'm not. Well, the thing we
and
have
you talk about it a lot more.
I talk about having sex because I don't get to have sex. But we did, just before this podcast, agree that it's okay, people, to watch she-males doing porn. That's okay.
Yes, I've had that conversation. Watching she-males have sex with a woman in porn, that's okay.
Right, not each other. That's
but have a she-male having sex with a man in porn, that's like three-quarters gay.
I don't know, because if the guy... I mean, the she-male's got the boobs, and the guy's doing her from behind, and you're not sure where and what.
So you can just think of it as anal? But, well, here's the thing.
Penetration in porn is fine to watch.
Well, so a she-male, there's the boobs, but then there's a penis.
Yeah, and the smooth skin and legs. And
so it's like half man, half woman. If you're gonna, because when determining gender, there are two things that I'm gonna look at personally. One is the genitalia, and the other is their breasts. Because that's when you look at a person to see what their gender is. Those are the only two things you can really count on.
Well, I'm looking at if it's hairless and feminine looking with long hair, and I can penetrate it. That's usually enough for me.
Well, see, that also qualifies 12-year-old boys, though, so...
Like I said.
Okay.
that's plenty fine for me.
All right, fine. Well, okay, well, I will.
Damn it, more evidence for court.
I will concede to your expertise on hairless smooth skin penetration.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming to do the show. I appreciate it.
It's an honor to be on a show that nobody listens to. And I'm going to prove it right now because we are going to give away, anybody who comments on this podcast, just from listening to the podcast, we're going to give away $1 million. You must be present to win.
You must be
absolutely
to win.
Anyone who
if
comments,
you're here at the recording of this podcast right now
and you comment
and you're not and you comment and you're not one of the people who are actually on the podcast,
right,
then we will give you $1 million,
right, absolutely, or we'll make a shemale porn with you.
We'll make a the shemale porn is probably more likely.
Speaking of porn,
I don't know any shemales though. You know, honestly, if for some reason, let's say I'm doing a scavenger hunt and they're on the list. There's, you know, the 1966 album of the Beatles, and there's the roll of masking tape, and then there's the shemale on the list of things that you have to gather. I don't know that I would have any idea where to get a shemale.
You have to knock on a lot of doors.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I just have to go to the Real Pride Film Festival or the Tower District, and it's
yeah,
usually
just
not
wander
a
around the Tower District and just start asking around.
Yeah, it doesn't take long. But listen, don't go in front of Bobby Salazar's and ask the Mexicans if they're shemales. You're gonna get your ass kicked.
Okay, I'll remember that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Tower District is interesting to me for a couple of reasons. One is the Bobby Salazar's there, as you say. But the other one is that it's the only Starbucks I've ever seen where the Hell's Angels hang out.
That's odd.
It's so weird. You'll go to, you're in the Tower District, which is Fresno's Arts District. That's where the theaters where people are doing live performances are at. That's where if you're some sort of an actor or something and you want to showcase a thing, you do it there. And that's where the homosexuals in Fresno live. They're all in the Tower District.
Every single one of them.
Every one of them. Both of them are there. Both of Fresno's homosexuals are in the Tower District.
There's an apology for next week. You can write that down.
Exactly.
Now.
And the Starbucks, most of the people in there, every time I pass by, you see a bunch of Harleys and stuff out parked out front, and there's a bunch of bikers inside.
And I've been trying to put this together for a while because the crime in the Tower District has really gone up. There's actually a page on the internet, please help stop crime in the Tower District. It's really gone. And the police can't do everything about it. Why don't we just ask these Harley guys to clean up for us? They'll handle the gangs.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it just it seems odd to me. I'd never really pictured the Harley guys in Starbucks, though. And then I think what it must be is that crack just isn't enough anymore.
Well, I think that the Harley guys don't do crack because it sounds
well,
too
not
gay.
Anymore. And then meth.
Yeah,
and then they needed something stronger, so then they go to Starbucks.
That could be it, but it's also kind of that's kind of the straight row for the Starbucks is kind of straight. Okay, it's not because everybody works there is gay, but you have the Tower Theater, then Starbucks, and then a little bit down, you got Bobby Salazar's and Laughing Buddha, and those are
right.
That's where the fights are happening. I think the Harley guys just like to laugh at all the wannabe gang boys.
Oh, okay.
The silly, you know, little.
It'd be
teens.
Like if there was a soccer riot, hit a soccer game here in Fresno, and there was half a dozen Irish dudes, and they would just be sitting back with their arms crossed, laughing like you call that a soccer riot?
Exactly.
You people don't know what you're doing.
Exactly.
They'd you call that a knife? That's not a knife.
Right. They would do it with an Irish accent, not the Australian thing. You were just
well, the Australian thing. I was then quoting Crocodile Dundee. It's like that. You call that a knife? That's
no,
not
I'm
a
trying
knife.
To keep and up with the transitions. And,
that's
you know,
a knife.
It's working.
Yeah, I don't do any good impersonations. I'm actually surprised that you recognize that as being an Australian accent.
No, it's just I recognized the line from Crocodile Dundee.
Okay,
and
right.
I knew what Paul Hogan was doing.
Yes.
And you know what kills me though is here we are.
I wish I could do impersonations. Can you do any? Because I had Bobby Williams on a couple weeks ago. You know, the man of six voices.
Yeah,
and.
I can
that
do
was the nickname
one.
I came up for him at the beginning of the show. Is the man of six voices.
That's
he
good.
It was funny.
I
but
can
yeah,
do one.
You can do one.
Yeah.
What is
it's
it?
It's Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Do you feel like?
Of course. well, there's two Mickeys now. There's two different. There's actually like six different Mickeys. There's the one that Walt came up with. It was just this high squeaky thing that never worked.
Yeah.
And then the original Mickey that you and I grew up with.
Yeah.
Is this Mickey? Oh boy! Hi ho, kitties! Gosh. And then now the guy in Fresno got the job, and he makes it more conversational, a little more lower. Gosh, Donald, I really don't think that we should really, oh boy, a little bit lower. And actually, the guy who does Mickey just passed away. Peter Allwine. From Fresno, he and his wife, they do Mickey and Minnie, and he passed away.
Huh.
So there's a new Mickey now, and his wife, out of respect, stopped doing Minnie.
Well, so I guess they're looking for a new Minnie now.
Yeah. I said Peter Allwine. I'm sorry. His name is Wayne Allwine. Peter's his son, who does theater in the Tower District.
Cool.
Where the theater people are.
So I had no idea that the people who did the voices for Mickey and Minnie on the, you know, any cartoons and stuff that come out, I had no idea they lived here in Fresno.
They didn't live here. They lived in L.A. because it was more convenient, but they grew up here, and this is where their kid is.
Cool. That is kind of cool.
I'm full of crazy Fresno trivia.
Awesome.
That nobody cares about.
Well, you know, every town needs that. Needs a couple of people that are the gatekeepers and the keymasters of the local historical history and the local trivia. I think that's important.
Fresno's kind of a Noah's Ark then. We've got two people who can do the trivia, two gay people. Two lesbians.
Yes, two lesbians.
The two drag kings, two drag queens.
Yes.
You know, there's actually there's a whole court. There's you know, I worked on the Real Pride Film Festival and the drag king and queen are nominated each year. And will come up, yeah, and
so they do kind of a high school prom kind of thing.
Very much so, and they dress to the nines.
See, there's the real reason for it's just they missed the pageantry from high school, and you know, having been homosexuals, they didn't really get to take part in it the way they should have been.
So does that mean that it'll go away now? Because now you can be gay in high school. It's cool. You can go to prom.
I think it might, actually. Because, you know, you notice there's no... They tried to do a straight pride parade here in Fresno once a long time ago. And they did the parade once and then just kind of petered out, pun intended.
No, they still do the straight pride parade.
They do?
Yeah, it's called Big Hat Days.
Okay, well, yeah, that's true. No, that's... I don't know that... I don't think that's straight pride parade. That's our version of the skinhead rally, I think.
Very close, except they wear the hats to cover up.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just... I describe Fresno as being like Texas, but without any black people or Mexicans. And one of the reasons I say that is because every guy who lives in Clovis for some reason thinks he's a cowboy. I mean, just because you have a hat on doesn't make you a cowboy. I mean, it's a ball cap, guys.
But they fuck sheep, so I mean, it should that qualifies. They've got the cap, they got the boots. They don't know shit about Shinola. They stood on the corner of Blackstone and Shaw for every war going, "Woo, USA!" Though they had no idea. And they fuck sheep.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So that, I think it qualifies. And I think you should apologize to Texas next week because it's backwards, racist, and homophobic, but it's no Clovis.
Well, at least they have minorities to be racist against.
We have minorities.
Well, not in Clovis, though. They don't live in Clovis.
Well, no. That
You know, they're the minorities in this area, of course, they're all in Fresno. There are a few now that starting to move in. So,
well, like, you know, Will Ferrell running naked through the quad in the movie. That's what the minorities do for a lot of hilarity fun. They're like, let's run down, you know, Clovis Avenue in Old Town Clovis and see if we can get away with it. They're not naked. They're just minorities.
No.
And the cops show up and a big chase and the helicopter. It's fun.
Yay. Wait, Clovis has a helicopter?
They borrow Fresno's.
They borrow Fresno's helicopter? Yeah. Yeah.
They don't need a helicopter. There's like four officers for every one person in Clovis.
That's true. The Clovis has got a lot of cops.
Yeah.
I bumped into one guy that I knew in high school, and I wish I could remember his name, but he's a cop in Clovis now. And I have to say that he is unlike most cops that I've met because I suppose it might not be entirely their fault that so many cops are such jerks. Maybe it's just the fact of the kind of person they're used to dealing with.
Well, wait, was your high school buddy a jerk in high school?
He wasn't my buddy, but no, he wasn't a jerk.
Okay.
He wasn't a jerk in high school, and he wasn't a jerk to me when I bumped into
all
him
right.
recently.
Well, that kills your theory, then, that all cops are jerks.
Well, my theory isn't that all cops are jerks. I think my theory is that many cops seem to be jerks, but I think it's because of the kind of people that they normally have to deal with. Because, you know, if you're the normal person, you're not a drug addict, you're not a thief, you're not doing wild stuff, and a cop bumps into you, cops seem to have this attitude that everyone is that.
Yeah.
And I figure it's just because most of the people that they deal with are that. If you spend most of your days getting called to the trailer park to break up the fight between the guy beating up his wife, then when you run into someone in your normal course of life, So you start to assume that everyone was like that. So I don't necessarily think it's their fault.
Well, that happens in the comedy world, too.
Well, that's true.
Because in the comedy world, we, you know, take your, for example, your Danny Minch, who's been on this show.
We're gonna take a break real quick, and then we'll get back to
it. And then I'm going to come back and say shit about Danny Minch.
Everyone says shit about Danny Minch. We'll apologize to him again next week. I'm JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, we were just about to be really cruel and offensive toward Danny Minch.
You know,
go ahead.
That's unfair because everyone makes fun of Danny Minch, so let me make fun of a lot of comedians. So first, we'll get back to the...
No, I like Danny Minch.
I love Danny Minch. We have sex every time we see each other, but we're mad at each other right now.
Oh, okay.
But to get to the first point, Danny Minch sees other comics, and like every other comic, we think that other comics aren't funny.
That's true.
We only think we're funny, and we... We never think the other comics.
That's not true.
Well, then,
I don't know that that's entirely. Well, maybe
it's based on friendship more than it's based on being funny.
Okay.
If they have any cachet, then maybe.
Let's define this. What makes a comedian funny? Now, because I know of comics in town who've got 5 minutes that are great.
Yes.
And that's all they have, and that's all they will ever have. That's not a funny person. That's a person who has 5 funny minutes. That's not a funny comedian. Because they're never, you know, there's nothing wrong with deciding, yeah, you know what, getting up on stage once in a while, it's a lot of fun. I just kind of do this as a hobby. I have a good time, and that's it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not a comedian.
No, I think, yeah, you're right. A comedian
is... I mean, going to the batting cages doesn't make you a baseball player.
That exactly. Well put. And what I love are the comics who are like, hey, I got a gig tomorrow night. You know, I got to get ready for the gig. What do you got? Well, I'm doing open mic.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that doesn't count.
Well, you know, when I had the show at his wife's birthday party,
mm-hmm.
I spent... probably about 12 hours going over my material and stuff, getting ready. But I was doing a half an hour, just because I wanted to make sure that I was set. And you know, the show went great. It was myself, Terry Michaels. We each did 30 minutes, and you know, it went great. So that's a show you prepare for. If someone says to me, "Hey, you want to do 5 minutes?" I take a second and run through my mind which bits I'm going to do. Okay, I'm ready to go.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I've got a show tonight that I have not prepared. Well, I don't prepare at all because I'm not good or professional. you know, I think of stuff on the way. I don't know. What makes people funny is obviously we think that if we can make other people laugh. But that hurts a lot of comics because some comics can make people laugh just by making them cringe or groan. So really, to me, a comic is if you sit down and you write your own material and you can perform it well and make people laugh and get paid for it, you're a comic.
Well, then there's not very many comics in town by those standards. And you know what? That's honestly, that is a reasonable standard because a stand-up comedian, that's a job. And if you're not getting paid to do it, it's still a hobby.
And the pay has to be defined.
So, and for me, honestly, I would love it to become a career. But right now, at this point, I really can't call it that because, you know, I got paid a little bit to do that birthday party. But for the most part, all I do are open mics. I don't get a lot of book shows where I'm getting paid. So I can't say I'm a professional comedian as much as I would like to.
And that's tough, too, in the area because we have so many guys like the good man Danny Minch who puts on shows and will pay you a little bit.
Yes.
And you'll get on a poster. And so that makes you a professional comic per se. But yeah. I think unless you're getting calls from... you know, out of town, people haven't, you know, if you're on the internet, there's got to be some cachet to what you do.
Well, if you want to go that level, there's a couple comedians in town and that's it.
Yeah, I had this argument.
There's like Terry Michaels and
Johnny Osborne, Andre Covington.
Andre Covington. Well, it's Andre Covington.
He's a pros pro.
He's a radio guy now.
Right,
but I mean, he did stand-up comedy for a long time. I remember seeing a clip of him. He was on one of those talk shows in the 80s.
Yeah.
Was it Arsenio Hall or something?
But he still tours.
I mean, he does?
Yeah, not a full tour, but he still goes to L.A., San Francisco.
Oh,
he still makes two, three, four bills a gig, And that, to me, and plus...
Well, see, I did not know that. I thought he was just doing it like the Ty Palms once a month. And
No. He's got an hour and a half of headline stuff.
I did not know that. I know I've seen him opening shows many times here in Fresno, but I did not know that he was touring at all.
He's just graduated to the point where he puts on that big comedy contest, the competition.
Okay, all right.
But I got in this argument on the internet with Just This Week, because we've got this show tonight, and our headliner
I don't know Just This Week.
Out.
I know Just Dave, but I don't know Just This
Just
Week.
Just This Week. He's hilarious. Doesn't get paid, though. But we show tonight, brand new place, new show. And 3 days ago, the headliner, who I don't want to mention his name because he had to drop out of the show, and we don't make fun of flakes like Phil Medina on this show, on this podcast. So he drops out, so I give him shit on the internet feed that we're following, and then he sends me a message. He's like, "Hey, fuck you! My uncle just died. He lost his battle with cancer." And I said, "You know, out of all reverence for Phil Medina, because we started together, sorry about your uncle. Fuck you! You know, he died 3 days ago. The show's tonight. Who's supposed to replace you? And Phil is up there in the comics lore. He's a headliner.
Yeah,
who's supposed to replace you and step in and replace you?"
Yeah,
I don't care if the funeral's this morning. Fucking do the show, you fucking flake. I said something in Spanish, and he's mad at me. And then Danny got mad at me because I said on the main feed, because this new guy is putting on this
main
event.
Feed?
The main internet feed that we had.
On Facebook?
We had this discussion on Facebook.
I missed it.
The vault.
Okay.
This new guy's doing it, and he was asking for suggestions. He's never done a comedy show.
Yeah.
He didn't know the comedians, so he got some of the usuals for tonight's show, and he scored Phil, and I think that's a pretty good score for your first show.
Phil Medina is really—he's really funny. He is a great comedian,
and he's put on some of the bigger shows in the valley.
Yeah, he does. He did the thing in it's like once every 3 months. He did this big show in
Madtown
Comedy Jam. That's right.
Sells out.
I've been to it twice. It was a great show both times.
Sells out.
400 people. It's awesome.
He has sex with 200 of them. It's amazing. Actually, he's getting married soon. But fuck Phil, because he drops. And I gave him shit about, "You only do your own shows." And he's like, "I would have dropped." So then Danny gives me shit on the main feed. He's like, "Well, you know, anybody can step up. It's just 30 minutes headline." I was like, "No, not everybody's a headliner. There's maybe a Chris Cruz, but there's a Kenny Williams. There's an Andre Covington. There's a Johnny
Thomas,
Osborne. Kenny Thomas. Kenny Thomas, Johnny Osborne, and Andre Covington. Those are your top tier guys in town." And then
that's 30 minutes, though. I mean,
they're your top headliners.
There's a large number of people that I would be willing to say, okay, you can open you can open 10.
Right, you can open it, but the guys.
If I needed to get someone to do 30 minutes or more, there's a really short list there because
I
don't know that many people there's actually quite a few comics in town, but not many of them have got 30 minutes of good material.
30 to 45. And so,
well, like I was saying, it's so many. I've been doing comedy here in Fresno about 3 years now, and there are a few that are still doing the exact same 5 minutes that I saw them do 3 years ago when I first started.
Danny Minch, what? No, Danny's got four hours of material, which
Danny's
8 minutes
of
funny. But they were
nice.
I was like, who's on the Phil Medina range? You know, I said to the guy, "Listen, call Johnny Osborne. You probably can't afford him, but try."
Yeah.
Call Terry Michaels, because Terry can do it because he's a headliner.
Yeah.
And or if you're stuck, you know, try Kenny Thomas. He probably won't do it, you know, because Kenny's pretty choosy about what he does.
Yeah.
Try, you know, so I named four or five guys, and Danny was pissed I didn't put him up there. But to me, Danny's a 15-minute opener. I mean, you give him 5 minutes, but he'll do 15. Danny and I are on the same thing. And then you got the new guys, the William Lushbaughs, who are funny, but I think that Danny is probably a little bit higher scale than that because Danny performs so much, and he has gone down and killed it at the Laugh Factory.
Well, I mean, I've seen actually Danny Minch. I've seen him headline many times.
I've seen him headline, and that's what he's pissed about. And so he ended up stepping up to doing the headlining tonight.
Yeah. Oh, so he's headlining tonight.
He's headlining tonight.
Oh, okay, cool.
And he was pissed at me. He's like, "Fuck you. I've got 30 minutes. You've been out of the scene. You don't know." And I'm like, so fucking what?
Yeah.
I have been out of the scene because no one books me.
Yeah.
Because I'm 12 minutes tops.
Yeah.
Unless I'm in bed, and then I'm, you know, 16 or 17 minutes.
Woo!
Well, I like to watch porn before I get going, so...
Exactly.
It's 2 minutes of sex, but 12 of porn.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to count the foreplay, which includes, you know...
The porn. That's
dinner
what I said.
And going
I had
to get
porn.
Pot.
No. There's... No, she's not getting any of that. Or he
no,
or
no, no.
It.
It?
Yeah, I'll do whatever. I don't care.
That's good to know. Well, now that we've pissed off every comedian.
No, and I, there's more because no, I want people to listen. I want to piss off.
I don't think that. No, I have more people no to piss off. To my podcast anyways.
Well, this will get them to listen. Ken Lewis is a piece of shit. Just because he's on the radio, he's not funny. Let's see. Who else?
Be nice.
No, I got to piss off more people.
I like the chopsticks, okay? Good. I like the chopsticks joke.
Ken's funny. And the thing with Ken is he's hung like a horse and he's fucked everything. So I got to admire the guy.
Yeah, well, you know.
He's and. I mean, I have it in good stead that he's hung like a horse. I won't sleep with him because, geez, that a horse sounds painful.
Yeah, well.
But now that we're here naked.
There's this video I saw on YouTube recently. I can't remember the name of it now, but it was about women who have a centaur fetish.
Yeah.
It was a fictional movie someone made for, there's an amateur porn competition that's held every year in the Seattle area called the Hump Competition. It's done by Dan Savage.
Yes,
and
he's the man.
He is the man. It's that's awesome. And I love when he was talking about it. And you know, it's you can do a porn or you can do because this it didn't it had some some really crappy claymation. I would call it Play-Doh-mation because it was that poor quality of claymation. And but there wasn't any actual nudity in it. But it won one of the prizes a few years back. But if you ever thought about doing a porno and wanting people to see it but not having it go everywhere, you know what they were saying is that you know they work really hard to make sure that no one brings cameras in to take pictures of the movies that are going on, and they don't post the winners anywhere. They destroy the master as soon as it's done. So but. Yeah, I used to live in Seattle, and it's one of the reasons I really I sometimes wish I had never moved away is because they do stuff like this, like that in Seattle.
Joel T. Foreman, do it here.
That's awesome. The hump competition, make your own porno. That's great.
Do the hump junior competition.
The hump junior competition. Yeah. You know, I don't know that I have the juice to get something like that.
You'd be surprised. You've got the equipment.
That's true.
Not the porn equipment, but the commercial equipment you could do.
Well, I mean, I have all this audio stuff, but right. I don't have a good video camera.
It doesn't matter. You get any kind. Well, you know, obviously you can do claymation or playmation. You could listen. Go buy a little unicorn horn, put it on Ken Lewis's dick at the end of it. There's your centaur.
There's your centaur.
And you're set. Yeah.
I'll try that.
I hear
no. Well, I thought you were referring to holding a hump junior competition here in Fresno.
Like, no, I think you should. That's what I'm saying.
I should put on a competition, not that I should make a video.
No, you're right.
But
you're
that
right.
I should like you know rent the Tower Theater one day, and hold the hump junior competition.
I think you'd have to hold it at like the Review or something because something smaller.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know,
it could do well.
I think it would do well. I do. I mean, because you get. The people who did the video to come to the show, and then all of their friends are going to come and see it. Because, okay, is there anyone you know, that if you heard they were in a porn, you would not go see it?
If I had a friend I would go.
Not just friend, anyone you know. Is there anyone in the world that you know that if you found out they did a porn, you would not go see it?
No, I would go see it because my mother's dead.
If it was my grandma, I would go see it. I would feel obliged.
I wouldn't go see my mother or my grandma, but they're both dead. So, and my grandma, she was quite the looker in her day, so maybe. But I don't know. Yeah, I would go. I would go see Phil Medina, and Phil is not a small man, but I would go see him in a porn in a heartbeat. The thing is, though, he would not show up because a relative would die. Listen, the man's a Mexican. If he cancels shows every time a relative dies, he'll never do a show again.
I'm surprised he's ever doing anything other than a car wash. Now you got me into it too. Why do you? I want to be nice to Phil because I'm hoping he'll pull one
Phil.
Day. And now you're gonna, you know, you're doing this to me, man.
I get
why,
to say
why are you goading me on into making fun of Phil Medina. Now I'm never gonna get to do the Madtown.
You'll apologize next weekend. I did Madtown once, and people actually walked out.
Really?
Yeah.
People walked out of Madtown.
They
for
did.
You?
Yeah. This is when I first started. My material was so awful. And
well, see, that's something I can relate to because I was thinking back to some of my first material recently, and I can't believe that I actually thought that crap was funny once. We're going to take a break again real quick. As soon as we come back, we're going to talk about the crappy material that we actually thought was funny when we started doing
comedy. Because
that'll
keep the listeners glued.
Exactly. I'm JT Foreman here with Stefan Mintz. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, and we're back. Okay, just before we left, we got into the subject of crappy material that we actually thought was funny when we first started doing comedy. I believe I have mentioned this on the podcast before, but just for Stefan's benefit, I'm just going to run through it real quick. I used to have this bit about James Bond and all of his relatives, like the cousin who kept getting arrested called Bail Bond.
Oh, yep, I remember this.
And the great grandfather who was in World War II, War Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually thought that stuff was funny once.
Well, the difference between us is my stuff was funny. It was just so disgusting.
Oh, okay.
That people walked out. Now, I have been unfunny, and I have chosen poorly for the crowd. I actually said the N-word in front of a black crowd once.
I did that twice, actually.
Yeah, I didn't do it well, and that was bad. And it was actually Johnny Osborne who talked to me outside, and he's like, you know, you can say no to crowds if you want to. Because if you're going to do the black crowds, you have to. And comics, those who are listening, listen up. If you're going to do the black crowds, you have to do the black crowds. And you have to go there and get almost killed, and you have to do the circuit, and you have to – and till you can get to where you're funny for black crowds, because it's not the same thing. And Johnny is hilarious. He does black crowds all the time and can kill it. He can do any audience because,
yeah,
you know, after 9 years, 10 years, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think more so than any other, every audience, you have to really be confident. You have to really commit to your material. But I think it's more so with black crowds than with any other, because they, especially if you're a white guy.
Especially if you're a white guy, partially, but I think you were right. You have to commit to it absolutely. You can't be scared.
Yeah.
And the thing is, as the I think that the comedy that is given to the black audience, especially by the black comics, is so much funnier on average than what anyone else is doing, that they're exposed to the best comics in the world. I mean, George Carlin obviously was terrific, and there are obviously the great white comics, Steve Martin, but these guys had Richard Pryor, Chris Rock, and Eddie Murphy, and these guys are the rawest, edgiest, funniest motherfuckers ever. And so for Johnny Osborne to be able to step into that and match that, I think is awesome. But like he said, he worked that circuit for a very long time. You know, he and Feather have been working together for a long time. And so you got to be confident, but your material's got to work as well for that audience. Mm. I think that everybody wants to do racial stuff because black comics can do it. They always talk about the difference between blacks and whites. And whites have to be really great at it before they can do that.
Yeah.
And you know someone, and I hate to compliment him, but Danny Minch can work a black crowd doing racist stuff.
Yeah.
Danny does his joke, you know, hey, it's okay, I can say that. I'm black from the waist down, ooh, because I have no money in my wallet. Boom! And Danny kills it with that joke,
yeah,
and the black
yeah.
crowd appreciates it. And so when he and I work black crowds, I suck. And Danny can kill it. And Danny can go there, and for some reason, well, because he has sex with half the black audience afterwards, he loves him some black women.
Yes, he was talking about that. But, you know, the girlfriend that he has now is white.
She's Hispanic.
Well, okay. Jen Felix, yeah, Hispanic.
She can pass.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
She's not black, though.
She is not, as far as I know, black. And she's not Jewish. I asked her, I said, do you have any Jew inside you at all? And she was like, no. And I asked her if she wanted some. And no, that didn't work out so much.
Well, that was good of you to try to have sex with Danny Minch's girlfriend.
I do. Every girlfriend he gets, I try and have sex with. I try and have sex with everyone I meet.
That's true.
So
we've only done it twice.
Yeah. And it wasn't bad.
Yeah. So you wanna do some news or? Oh, wait.
Before speaking of Ken Lewis.
What
this,
about
this
Ken Lewis?
Fat Boys? Open mic night.
Fat
You've
Boys
got
Talkery.
The news right there.
I guess we're not going to be doing the open mic at Fat Boys Talkery on Thursday night.
What
anymore.
Happened? What?
So I get there at about 10 to 8, and I set up my PA system. And Noah something. I can't remember the dude's last name.
Right, yeah.
I wish I could remember his name, because I feel like that would be polite.
He's up and coming, and yeah.
But he's there hosting. Ken Lewis isn't going to be able to make it that night. And so I set up the PA system. And before he got there, now how this room is situated, it's like kind of an L shape.
Tiny.
And in the corner of the L, there are two pool tables.
Yes.
So there is no good spot to stand where everyone can see you.
Right.
And plus, on the longer end of the L, there's this big pillar in the middle of the room with a TV on the other side of it. Yeah, so it's logistically, it's a horrible room for a show. Now, I've heard people say, oh, it's just a bad room. Now, I'm talking about the physical makeup of the room. Correct. The room sucks.
Correct.
This isn't like, oh, the audience there is no... No, no, it's none of that nonsense.
Correct.
The room sucks for a show because there's no good spot to do the show at. But so we got this party of like 12 drunk Mexican women and one Mexican dude who looked a little afraid.
Right. Isn't that redundant? Drunk Mexican women?
You
don't need the drunk. I mean, it's a given, right?
I want to be thorough.
Okay, good. They're at Fat Boys.
Yeah, so. They're at Fat Boys Taqueria, and they were like a high school reunion group or something.
So they're also some sort fat of and hairy.
Yeah, they definitely were fat.
So you left those words out.
So okay, it was fat, should have been Fat Girls Taqueria that night.
Gotcha.
But so... See, I don't want to make fun of people. Why you keep making me do this?
Well, because I like it when you apologize next week. And plus, when you tell this story, we'll realize that fuck these fat bitches.
Yeah, well, the big lesson that I learned from the night is that drunk Mexican women are mean.
Well, we knew that.
But, okay, so they're really loud and boisterous. And so I set up the PA system as best I can. I've got one speaker pointing down one leg of the L, one down the other. And I figure, well, the person can stand between the two pool tables. And you'd have to turn your head to the left to look at one side, to the right to look at the other. So it's as good as I can get. So we start the show, and the drunk Mexican women aren't having any of it. They're just completely uninterested in the show. They're talking amongst themselves, yelling really loud. Not heckling, just yelling loud amongst themselves, having their big party.
Again, redundant.
Okay. And then, of course, some of the comedians decide they have to start talking to this group to get their attention. And the headliner makes an attempt. And the next comedian makes an attempt to talk to him, and they're just not having it. And then when it gets to when I'm on stage, one of them yelled something at me. Hey, you're not funny. I haven't said word one yet.
Right.
I just got up there because, and so since they said something to me, now I'm going to try to engage them.
Of course.
And I don't make fun of hecklers. I do my best to ignore them, honestly, because I'm not good at it. You know, I'm not good at the snappy comebacks. And I just don't want to have to deal with it. So I tried talking to them briefly, and they just kept yelling, you're funny. And so I said, and you're mean. And then I turned my back to them and just talked to the rest of the audience and did my set. Well, apparently, when I told them they were mean, that upset them.
It's tough, and I feel for them because it's hard to be a fat, older Mexican drunk woman who's getting cheated on all the time by her husband in Mexico. So, go on.
Yeah. Well, so there by this time, one other Mexican guy had shown up. And I don't remember exactly what he said to me, but he said something rude and cruel. So I said, yeah, that's what your mom said.
Uh-oh.
And
then
everyone got all
talking about su madre. That was a mistake.
Nah, no, fuck that. Mistake. No, fuck him.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's not here, right?
No,
he's fuck not that him.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, after I get off stage, apparently a couple of them had gone to the manager and said, "Yeah, we want you to stop this comedy show right now, or otherwise we're leaving and we're not paying our check." So the manager told the host to end the show. So they ended the show early. Now, I rent my PA system to them for doing the show, and he still paid me the money for the rental of the PA system.
Yeah, sure.
As far as I'm concerned, the night's a success.
Now, wait a sec. He paid you?
Yes, he did pay me.
So
I'm not getting paid to do comedy. He's renting my PA system.
No, I get that. It's just that before you said drunk, fat Mexican women, and I said that's redundant.
Yes.
But in this case, I think you should point out that he was a respectable professional manager who was also Mexican, because
he was neither drunk nor woman.
Right, right. But still, but to be a professional.
You know, the manager, and he was a Mexican guy. And
a manager.
He was a manager.
You've got to point that out. I mean, this is a Mexican man who's a manager.
Why is that?
Well, he's managing his own business, and it has nothing to do with...
Well, he's managing someone else's business. But,
It has nothing to do with lawn care, and so I'm impressed with him.
Well, you know, most Mexicans have more than one job. Sure he mows lawn somewhere, too.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah. Anyway... Thanks. Now I get to apologize to the lawnmowers.
I won't be here next week, so yeah, I don't care.
I hate you.
Yeah.
Well, why you keep just making me be cruel to people? I want to be a nice guy. I want people to say, yeah, Joel, he's a nice guy.
Why? You're the serial killer of comedy.
I know, but...
Which is...
He's a nice serial killer.
Yeah, he's the nice serial killer.
He's the nice serial killer.
He's going to eat you later, but, you know, he's going to be nice about it. He'll exactly. pray before he eats your brain.
No, I'm not going to pray.
Okay.
But anyway, so I got off the phone with Ken Lewis a few minutes ago, and he's the guy who actually hosts that show. And apparently, they're not going to be. Normally, he hosts that show,
right?
And so, I guess they're not going to be doing the comedy show there.
No more Fat Boys.
No more. So no more open mic at Fat Boys Taqueria.
That's too bad, because I really love going there that one time.
Yeah. Well, I love going there and renting them my PA system.
Yeah, so you're out of some cash.
Yeah, I'm out a little bit of money.
That's too bad.
Hey, you know, it's a drag. I like going to open mics because I try to new material. But, you know, it's a thing that some people don't seem to understand, is that you're never really going to get... okay. How long has Ty Palms been doing comedy shows?
Forever.
4 years now. Yeah. How long did it take before they started getting a regular size crowd? A good size crowd on any regular basis. Probably at least
probably
a year.
A year, and Aaron was working his ass off, Aaron Stewart, to get that to happen.
So it took a lot of effort and a lot of time for it to get to that point.
To turn a restaurant into a comedy club, absolutely.
Right, and it seems like every bar and restaurant in town wants to put out a couple of flyers and have 100 people walk in and order 20 drinks each.
Absolutely.
No one wants to put in the effort, no one wants to make the investment that's necessary in time and in money to... make their comedy room, their place successful as a comedy room. They just want it to happen right away. Like the open mic at Fat Boys Taqueria, how much advertising do they do?
Oh,
I didn't see any.
None.
You know, I saw these little flyer things on the tables 1 week.
Well, Ken,
but that was there at the restaurant.
Ken would talk about it on his radio station or on the Comedians of Fresno website, but that's not enough. And, you know, the guys who are successful, this is another thing where every restaurant owner thinks every comic is alike. That I can just... Because people ask me all the time, why don't you put on some shows for me? And I always send them to Danny Minch because I am a lazy fuck and I do not want to do... Danny built up Crossroads to be huge.
Yeah, and then lost it.
And then TK came in and TK couldn't make it happen.
Well, TK did like 1 week and then they gave it to someone else. They started doing it once a month.
Several
and now
weeks.
It's just... Oh, several?
He
I thought he just
he
did
one.
He
did several
week.
Weeks and couldn't make it happen. And then he did the Karsh's Grill. And I don't think TK had any. And TK is a fairly hard worker, fairly. But Danny Minch was giving his life to building crowds. And Aaron Stewart did it, Ty Palms.
Yeah.
And Phil does for the Madtown Comedy Jam. Phil is every day selling tickets for the Madtown Comedy Jam from the second he announces it.
Yeah.
And he sells pretty much every ticket himself.
Yeah.
And he's always... So if you don't have that kind of commitment, you shouldn't be promoting shows.
Yeah. You know, and then these bars and restaurants, they want it to just happen overnight.
Exactly.
And they don't want to put any effort or any money into advertising it. They don't want to do anything themselves. They just want... They want some comedian to come in, or, you know, some booker to come in and do everything. And then magically, now it becomes a center of comedy. And you're never going to make money if all you have is an open mic.
Right.
Because, okay, here's the problem.
That's
with
not true.
Well,
but
the
it's
problem
generally
with an
true.
Open,
it's 80% true.
Well, the problem with an open mic is that you've got the same comedians coming in and doing much of the same material all the time.
Yeah,
now, I have... quite a bit of material, and I would rotate through it at the open mics. You know, I would end up repeating jokes some, but not too much. And it would be a month and a half, 2 months before you heard the same joke out of me, depending on how much time they had. If I were only doing 5 minutes, I could go several months without repeating a joke. If they're going to have me doing 15 minutes, which they did sometimes, well, then I'm going to end up repeating stuff more often because you're having me do more of my material each time.
Well, it depends upon where you are in comedy as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Because if you're just starting out, you got to do all your shit and see if it sticks.
Yes.
But if you're Johnny Osborne, he goes to open mics. He does two or three of his standard stuff to get the crowd laughing with him. Then he tries his new thing. Daniel Leach just always hits open mics.
Yeah,
you know, it depends.
Well, and then that's what the open mics are for.
That's what they're for.
But because Johnny Osborne, he doesn't go to open mic every week.
No, but he would actually. When Johnny P was doing his stuff at Yosemite Falls, Johnny wasn't advertising or selling it very well. There were not big crowds there.
Yeah.
But big comedians would show up. We'd all go do something. We were doing Crossroads, and then we would all take off and go do Johnny P's. And it would be Osborne and Terry Lewis and Eachus and, you know,
Terry Michaels and Daniel
Eachus. Thanks for getting the names. All these big guns would go in that I was lucky to get 3 to 5 minutes. But 3 to 5 minutes is a lot for a guy who's just coming up. But I had been in like 3 years. But when you've got the head guys coming out. Yeah. But you're right. You know, open mics have a great purpose. And if you're doing it on a Monday or a Tuesday and it's an off night for the club or the bar anyway, I think it's great. Yeah. And any money they make on those nights is extra. Yeah. So Fat Boys on a Thursday, it was extra and they should have liked it and they should have invested more if they wanted to build a crowd. You are absolutely right this one time.
Yeah, once. Well, it's the one thing in Fresno, though, is that to a degree, I think the comedians are a little... well, I'll just say that we're lucky here.
Very lucky.
As far as open mics go. Spoiled.
We're spoiled.
Because, you know, when I lived in Seattle, the open mics, the only really consistent ones that were going on were at full-time comedy clubs, at Giggles Comedy Club and Comedy Underground. Giggles would give you 5 minutes. Comedy Underground would give you 3 minutes. When I was living in Houston, the only open mic at a comedy club there was at the Laugh Stop. And they would give you 3 minutes. Now, there was a place in their arts district, and I can't remember what that neighborhood is called now in Houston. There was a bar there that had a comedy open mic on Sunday nights. And they would give you as much time as you wanted, only because there was usually only 4 or 5 people who showed up to it.
Right.
And I would go up and do half an hour sometimes on those open mics, because I would be the only one who showed up. And actually, that's why the comics here... end up, why I say they're spoiled here. It's like the open mic at Fat Boys Taqueria, there was only 5 of us. And so we end up getting a lot more time than you would in an open mic in a place like LA or Seattle or San Francisco, because they've got so many more people showing up to the shows.
Yeah, and you've got to bring people to the shows down there and stuff like that. But
yeah, and some of those, it's like pay to play. You got to pay $5 to get 5 minutes on stage. The Ha Ha Cafe is like that. God, that pisses me off. You know, I get that they're not going to pay me to do an open mic, but I have to pay to come in for an open mic. That's kind of sucks.
Well, down there, and that's the way it is. But we've been so lucky here that for the last 4 or 5 years, we've just had a lot of up-and-coming comics who wanted to do their own shows. And... there can be money in it, or it can cost you money. So, I mean, we were having 4 or 5 open mics a week.
Yeah, at times. And, you know, they would start up, and then they would stop again. And then, like, the open mic that I ran, it was actually run by someone else before me, and someone else before that, and someone else before that. And it had actually started because the owner of the place, the woman who owned that coffee shop, wanted to do an open mic comedy show. And I'm not sure what she was expecting to get out of it, but she certainly didn't put much into it.
No, we couldn't even get free ice cream there. That was sad. Free cheesecake. Something. But I was glad to do it.
Yeah.
But I think that we've all... because I'm the laziest comic in town. I don't write jokes. I haven't seen you
at an open mic in a while, actually. This is the first time I've seen you since...
I rarely go to open mics. Yeah. And yet I've got 3 paying gigs this month. We are spoiled.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, hey, we're going to take a break again real quick. I am JT Foreman here with Stefan Mintz. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. Hello, this is JT Foreman here with Stefan Minch.
Minch?
Mintz.
Yeah, that happens Stefan all the time. Stefan Minch. That's why Danny Stefan and I Minch. Just should get married.
Probably. Which name would you take? Or would you just
We
swap?
Would both take each other's names. Oh, Danny Minch Mintz and I'd be Stefan Minch Mintz.
Awesome.
Yeah, be great. I'm not a black girl or a Mexican girl, but I'm going to do the best I can for
He'd
him.
He'd still get you pregnant, though.
Absolutely.
Actually, you know what? They do the joke about how he gets people pregnant, but he's only got 3 kids.
Yeah, but he's gotten a lot more pregnant.
He has?
He got Phil Medina pregnant.
No, he didn't.
That's why Phil can't drop the baby weight. Phil's getting married soon. And his uncle died. I should be nice to him.
No, not Phil.
No, I'm not going to be nice
Well,
to him.
Okay. Everyone is going to hate me now.
Now?
Of course, I'm not close to my uncle. But I would have showed up for the show.
You gotta fulfill the gig, especially.
I don't know how
gig.
Close he is to his uncle. Now maybe if this is like, you know, they see each other every day and they're
care.
Big parts of each other's lives. But
unless you're Jewish and you have to sit Shiva for 7 days, you got to do the show. And the reason was is because it's a brand new guy, a new promoter who can't.
Maybe
just,
it's a Hispanic thing. Maybe it's a Mexican thing where that like their culture they
well,
actually like
excuse,
their family members.
Any excuse to get out of work.
Because I mean, like we're white, so we don't really like our families.
But I was Jewish. I still had to sit for 7 days. Mm. But any excuse to get out of work for the Mexicans, you know. Oh, my uncle died. You got 50 uncles.
You know, I hear that stereotype all the time.
And it stereotypes
about Mexicans
are
being lazy.
There, because it's true. They're not lazy. They're just lazy. Yeah, they're pretty lazy.
Well, it's just every. And yeah, I do a bit about this, but seriously, every Mexican I know has two jobs.
Two jobs busting their ass to feed their
families.
Yes,
and so I don't understand where the Mexicans are lazy stereotype comes from.
Because unless you're watching them on the job, they're not really doing the job that well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's the stereotype.
Well, see, I've never had Mexicans working for me, so I don't have any personal experience with Mexican workers.
I have.
Well, actually, no, that's not true. When I lived in Houston, Texas, I worked at a P.F. Chang's in the kitchen, and most of the people in the kitchen were Mexican.
Of course.
And they all were much better at the job than I was and much faster at, you know, it was food prep. They were much faster at cutting the vegetables and meat and everything than I was. They were much better at it than me. I don't know why they kept me there.
Well, token.
So I was the token?
In Texas, you're required to have one white person working.
Well, see, eventually they switched me to the evening shift, and I ended up spending most of my shift making rice. Just hilarious. Literally making rice.
The white guy making rice.
All night long.
At the P.F. Chang's.
I'd make a batch of white rice, and a batch of brown rice, and a batch of white rice, and a batch of white rice, and a batch of white rice, and a batch of brown rice. I had two machines. They'd just be going opposite each other.
Heck of a job.
And, yeah, we went through about 3 batches of white rice for every batch of brown rice that I made. And
but I'm telling you, the
all
only
night
reason,
long, I just spent all night making rice.
The reason the Mexicans were so fast is because you were in the kitchen. And they assumed that since, you know, the white guy
well,
was watching them.
I did get that, actually. Yeah. Turns out that everyone assumed that because it was a brand new restaurant.
Yeah.
I got hired the day they opened, and everyone thought I was a corporate plant.
Exactly, yeah.
There to keep an eye on the new restaurant. Because why else would you pay this guy? Because minimum wage was, I think, $7.50 an hour at the time. It might have been less. I told him I wanted $8.50. And they asked me if I would go down on that. I said no. And then so they say, okay, well, we're not gonna hire you for that. I said, okay, fine. Because I knew what my expenses were, and I know how much money I need to be able to pay my rent and buy food. And I needed $8.50 an hour. You know, that's just it. I can't take a job that pays less than that because the one I was at the time was paying me $8.50. And I wanted to leave, but I couldn't leave and not have something else.
How bad was that job that you wanted to go make rice instead?
It was at Kinko's, and it was...
Say no more.
But so then about a week and a half later, the day the restaurant was opening, I get a call at like 8 in the morning asking me if I can come in. And I had just gotten home from work at 7 because I was working nights at the Kinko's. I show up there and and the manager's like, well, I'll give you $7.50 an hour. And I said, no, thanks. And he's like, well, I mean, we don't pay anyone this much. And I was like, well, I understand that, but I need $8.50 an hour to justify leaving the job I have now. So he said, all right, fine. And they paid me the $8.50 an hour, which, you know, I guess it was a unique situation where I had leverage because
you're white.
No, because half the kitchen crew quit the day they opened. So they hired people a month or two in advance and were training everyone for 2 months at the brand new restaurant. You know, they were open and like giving, you know, a meal here and there away to people just to train all of their employees so that when they had their official opening, everyone knew what they were doing and everything would go smoothly.
Let me guess.
And then the day the restaurant opened, half of the kitchen crew called in and said, "I quit."
This job, the new place opened sometime in the early spring, I'm guessing. Early fall, either one.
I think it was early fall.
Early fall, that's why they quit, yeah. Because they got paid to train, and then they took off for harvest season.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, yeah, if you're not watching them, those Mexicans... I've had Mexican hookers, and if I wasn't watching her, the blowjob was not happening. It was, she'd be on it, but she wouldn't do her job, damn it.
Yeah, all right. Well, okay, I'll keep that in mind next time I hire a Mexican hooker.
Absolutely, yeah. And just the she-males are mostly Mexican, so...
Yeah, okay. Well, that's true in the videos I watch also. That's
right, callback.
There you go. well, let's do a little bit of news. Actually, let's start off with the 559 text of the week. Now, this is a kind of a semi-regular segment that I do on my podcast where I go to the website textfromlastnight.com and I type in my area code, which is 559, because I want to support my town. And I look for a new text message to talk about. See, this is a website where people go to submit their text messages that are generally drug or alcohol induced. And the one I've got for this week, the 559 text message of the week is, "He crawled over to me, grabbed my boob, asked me if I liked cats, and then passed out." If that's really my RA, it's going to be a long year.
Wow, a college girl.
Yes.
Trying to bang her RA.
No, well, actually, the RA trying to bang the college girl here.
Right.
I say he crawled over to me, grabbed my boob, asked me if I liked cats.
Right.
And then passed out.
Yeah, that's a text.
RA, what does RA stand for again?
The resident assistant.
Resident assistant, yeah. Thing. I knew it was like the dorm person, but resident assistant. Yeah, so.
Who's absolutely not supposed to be touching his residence.
Absolutely not.
But he was simply prefacing a question by getting her attention with the boob grab.
That's like a college. In college, that's like a tap on the shoulder.
Well, exactly, because with the girls in college, they're all ditzy and their minds are all sort of, and asking if you like cats is like making small talk. She probably wouldn't have paid attention otherwise. This way you get it's a tap on the shoulder.
Well, grab the boob. Asking if she liked cats, that sounds like someone trying to be clever in their asking for sex. Because cat, pussy.
Well, no, I think that pretty much any time you ask a college girl anything, you're asking for sex.
Well, that's true also. So, yeah. That's true. actually, I have this this joke I thought of recently about women with cats. Is the more pussy they have, the less likely they are to share.
That's not terrible.
That's not terrible. Yeah. Oh, not. Thank you. Yeah. You know, I think that is the best compliment you've ever given one of my jokes.
That's not terrible, you know. Unfortunately, I'm the honest guy, so. But yeah. I'm impressed. I didn't know you lived in Houston and Seattle and did comedy, and so you've been unfunny in three states.
Exactly.
That's a tour.
You know what? It's more than I've been unfunny in far more than three states.
That's impressive.
When I got out of the Navy, I took a class on stand-up comedy.
Big mistake.
In New York City.
Yeah.
And no, it wasn't a mistake. I am very much aware that that is not what I learned in that class is not going to be the end-all and be-all of stand-up comedy. And I've certainly written stuff that if I were to follow the rules given in the class, you shouldn't write this. But it gave me somewhere to start.
I guess.
Which is something I needed because I've for a long time I've been interested in doing stand-up comedy, but I had no idea how to even begin.
But you learn more in probably 3 months just doing shit in Fresno than any That's class. That's true,
but still, the class did give me somewhere to start. And then I performed at Stand Up New York in New York City, so I was unfunny there as well.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I've been unfunny in four states.
That's very impressive.
Thank you.
That's a gift.
Okay, so let's do a couple of news stories real quick before we go. John Brennan.
Yes.
The guy who stripped in front of the TSA was found not guilty. Now, an Oregon man stripped nude at Portland's airport security to protest what he saw as invasive measures. He was found not guilty of indecent exposure. Okay, well, here's what happened. He is going through airport security.
Yes.
And they searched him.
Yes,
to pat him. And then they searched him again.
Yes.
And then they searched him again.
Yes.
And then they searched him again. After four searches, he goes through the... They said that they detected chemical explosives on the glove that they had done the pat-down on him with. And so he took off all of his clothes and said, "See? I don't have anything."
Right.
And so they arrested him for... Well, they called the police, and police arrested him for indecent exposure. Multnomah County?
Mm-hmm, Multnomah
County. Multnomah County Circuit Court Judge David Reese ruled Wednesday that John Brennan's act was one of protest and therefore protected speech.
Exactly.
Now...
I'll be protesting for the next 6 weeks, Nick.
Yes, exactly. Well, see, here's the thing is the... Let me find the quote here because there's... here it is. The law says that naked people are only breaking the law if they're having sex in public or got undressed, quote, with the intent of arousing the sexual desire of another person.
I just and read this, yeah.
If you take a look at the picture here of this guy, I find it difficult to imagine that he's going to arouse the sexual desire of anyone other than those who troll the bear websites.
So are you saying that indecent exposure has something to do with looks?
Yes.
This actually happened in St. Louis.
Well, no, actually, it's your intent.
Right.
Is what this says.
Which is hard to prove. But his intent was
of arousing the sexual desire.
But they had
not just sexual desire, but arousing the sexual desire.
Yeah, the, not any. Not just any.
Not just any, but the. As there's several different, but there's one that's the one. That,
yeah. But if someone complains, that's usually what makes the offense. In St. Louis, they had a naked bike ride last week, and some people got naked and were standing around, and then when neighbors complained, the cops showed up and made them suit back up. And they're like, but wait, it's a naked bike ride.
You're not on, are they on a bike?
No, they actually weren't on a bike, but they were going to get on a bike.
Okay.
And these were not super attractive folk, but one of the women was, and she complained on her website, and that was it. When people complain, that constitutes the indecent exposure. But this guy just protesting, and I'll be protesting tonight. I'm protesting for TK on the 21st in Madera.
Awesome.
He's having me do a roast of him.
Another roast?
God help the world. It's his birthday roast, his annual birthday roast. His parents like it.
I think they do too many roasts here in Fresno.
I refuse to let myself be roasted, and I can take it. But
well, see, here's the thing: is the roast in my view, and perhaps if someone to research it historically, it would be different. But in my view, the roast is supposed to be like an honorific.
It's a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah, kind of for stand-up comedy. That's your lifetime achievement award.
Yes.
So when someone who's been doing comedy for 6 months, Julian Aguilar, hosts a roast for himself.
Yes.
And he's not the only person who's done it.
Correct.
And actually, I had this conversation with him. And I told him, look, I don't think you've earned a roast. And he's like, well, anyone can do one. Yes, that's true. Anyone can do one. Just like if I somehow came into $1 billion, I could run for president.
That's right.
Anyone can do it. I just don't think it would be a good idea.
I don't think so either.
And you know what? I have. It might have been a great show. I don't know. I wasn't at that particular roast.
I was at that roast. It was okay. But I agree with you completely. And we can talk about Julian because you already apologized to him at the top of the show today.
I did.
You apologized to all drag queens. Julian's gay. He's gay. He's gay. Let's Julian come out of the closet.
He's got a chubby girlfriend. He's black.
No, he's her hagged fag.
Well, you know, maybe he is.
Yeah.
Good for him. You know what? Actually, I don't have a problem with homosexuality if it's out of the closet.
I'll do it in the closet. I don't care. I'm working with Danny Minch tonight. I'm getting it. I'm getting it one way or another. What?
I don't know. I mean, they're boyfriend, girlfriend. That's what they say, so yeah,
whatever.
They're happy. Okay, whatever.
They're
the first person who's ever said that they suspect, to me, that they suspect Julian Aguilar to be homosexual.
That was everybody's roast comment. He's gay,
really?
Gay, gay. Oh, come on.
Well,
Julian?
Sorry, I'm clueless. What do you want from me? I didn't lose my virginity until I was 23.
Yeah, and that was, you know, you had to pay for it, so.
I didn't pay for it. Someone else did.
That's right.
I've told you that story.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you've told everyone. It's been on the podcast. If I listened, I don't listen.
I don't think I did it on the podcast, but I have done it on stage in front of many strangers. Really? Everyone is joking that he's gay.
Absolutely. Okay. No, it's not a joke. He's gay.
I, you know, it didn't even occur to me.
Julian, we welcome it. It's okay.
Well, see, maybe this is the reason, because like last episode I was talking about how I don't like the drag queens referring to themselves as women.
Right.
Because I really am pretty naive. If someone presents themselves as female, I'm just going to assume that they have a vagina.
Well,
and if I have not gotten into that position, but if I got into the position where I was getting into bed with a person who had a penis, I would be very upset.
The question
I would make them finish, but I would still be very upset.
The question that always gets asked in that situation is, you're talking about a transsexual, not a drag queen. A drag queen is overdone.
So, it's entirely likely. It's highly likely that I've got my terminology wrong.
Yeah, but a drag queen is someone who's doing, you know, the corny, the legend show, stuff like that. You know a drag queen, but you're talking about transsexual. And the question always is, like the crying game, if you go out with them the first time and nothing happens, second time you get a blowjob, which is third time, you know, you get a hand job.
I need to see the crying game.
So then you're really falling for this person. And then after seven dates, they say, by the way, I'm technically, biologically, a male.
I would feel so betrayed.
I
would think that everything that they've said to me is a lie.
But
hate them for the rest of my life.
Makes you homophobic a little bit.
No, it doesn't.
Because you're in love.
You're
in love with the person.
It makes me lied to.
You're turning
it's
them
like
down
if
for
a guy's really nice and then he marries a girl and he starts beating her, it's her fault? Because that's what
different deal.
That's what you know. It's not
every girl's going to lie to you. You're talking about lies.
Well, every guy's going to lie to you too. I mean,
that's not true. I will never lie to you, Joel.
When you first start dating a person,
yes,
you are not dating them yet. You're dating their representative. Okay? It takes two or three or four dates before you get to start to meet that actual person.
Right.
Have you... My girlfriend and I have farted in front of each other, but we sure as hell didn't do it the first couple months we were dating.
You should have.
Okay.
So you were lying. She was lying to you.
Exactly. We were lying to each other.
Right.
There are things that you will hold back until you feel comfortable enough with the person and until you think they feel comfortable enough with you.
Now, have you...
But whether or not you have a penis or a vagina, that is something that is strongly implied by your dress.
I disagree. That's the same thing. There's an implication that people fart. You said you had to wait until you're comfortable to actually fart in front of, or you have to just get it out in the open on the first date.
Well, everyone does fart. Whether or not you do it in front of people.
But had you spent the whole night with your girlfriend?
No, not yet.
But because that means...
Actually, she farted in front of me before I farted in front of her.
Okay.
That was the line that I drew. I was like, I'm not going to fart around her.
Did you ever do the cheek grab or the...
The cheek grab?
Yeah, where you reach down and
grab
your cheek.
Grab the cheeks, rip them, pull them
pull your own cheeks apart so that you hope it doesn't make noise, yeah.
No.
Or you're on the chair and you... grind one cheek into the chair and then
no,
move the
but
other
she
one
thought
to the
it
side.
Was odd that I had to go to the bathroom three times every time we went out to.
You would go to the bathroom just to fart.
Yes, I would go to the bathroom just to fart.
That's just as bad as lying about a penis.
I didn't
it's
want to
the
make
same
her smell
lie.
It. I don't want to make her smell it.
And you don't want
we're to, eating.
And your girlfriend doesn't want to make you taste your penis yet until that time comes.
I'm sorry, but it's not the same.
Go back to your news stories.
It's not the same.
You already covered this.
The penis.
And from penis and the things that come out of it, let's jump into mashed
potatoes. You know
what?
Potatoes. The penis stands out, okay?
Not necessarily.
Ba-dum-bum.
Not when it's taped back.
All right, and last news story for the evening. There is a 7-Eleven in... Where is it?
It's in Mongolia or it's some one of those cuckoo countries.
It's some Asian country that started with an M. Yeah. I remember that. But they've got a... apparently, they converted a slurping machine to sell mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You can get gravy, too.
And gravy, yeah. Mashed potatoes and gravy. And it only costs a dollar. So in addition to Maggie's famous seasoning sauce, they also make powdered mashed potatoes and soups. And the off chance that you don't have any hot water to mix with your mashed potato powder, machines make it one step easier for you. They mix it for you.
Absolutely. I think that we should do that in America. Take the kids in. Can I get a Slurpee? No.
Mashed potatoes and gravy.
Mashed potatoes and gravy.
That's right. So they've got these Slurpee machines that sell mashed potatoes and gravy. See, I think that people need to really explore what can be done with a Slurpee machine. Because I remember...
What can't be done?
Exactly. That's my point.
You can make test tube babies in those
what
things.
What can't be done with a Slurpee machine? You can do anything with
a
Slurpee
machine. It's a centrifuge. You can find out blood types. You can DNA out of that.
When I was in the Navy, I spent a few weeks in Palma, Spain, and there was a place called the Daiquiri Palace. They had a whole bunch of these Slurpee machines, each with a different flavor of frozen alcoholic beverage. They had like 20 or 30 of them. And they give out these punch cards, and if you try every single flavor, you'd get a free T-shirt.
That's awesome.
That was awesome. And it's right on the beach, and so you get it in the styrofoam cup, for fuck the environment. You're getting your drink in the styrofoam cup. And when I was in Vegas just a couple months ago with my girlfriend, I discovered that there are quite a few places that sell frozen alcoholic beverages in very rather large sizes. I bought an Ugly Stick from Coyote Ugly. The Coyote Ugly bar in New York Casino.
Sure.
And it's 32 ounces, and you pick the frozen alcoholic beverage you want. I think it was like $16, and then refills were $7. And there were several different, many different places in all the different casinos that had these frozen alcoholic beverages. And any one of them seemed to be willing to honor the refill of the other. So like I had my Ugly Stick from the one at New York Casino. I'm in the Luxor. I'm at the place there, and I don't remember the name of it, but that sold some of the frozen alcoholic beverages, and they would let me have a refill using the other people's cup.
Yeah, they don't care about.
Yeah, they don't care. So
you get free drinks to gamble. So
and you know, and we were literally walking up and down the strip drinking alcohol.
You can do that in
Vegas. You can do that in Vegas.
Can't do that so much in Fresno.
No, you cannot do
that.
But
everyone tries.
People do try.
Yeah.
Even in Tower District.
Mostly in Tower District. Yeah. I've worked security down there, and man.
Well, every time I've been in Tower District in the evening, there's always a police car and two cops standing out in front of Bobby Salazar's.
They have to. They have to pay for them. Bobby's has been in so much trouble that they have to have the cops. It's kind of cop extortion. Because the cops show up, and they're like, hey, we'll shut you down unless we... And we recommend that you have a cop car, but we'll shut you down without. Cop car's 65 an hour. The cops are 45 an hour. Per guy, and they have to have
money. Is the cop being paid that much?
The cops are getting paid time and a half to be there.
Well, see, I remember when I was fixing copiers up in Seattle, I had a job doing that for about 3 or 4 months. I was getting paid $9.50 an hour, and they were charging $150 an hour.
That sounds about right.
So I just wonder if the cop was getting paid as much as they were charging.
The cop, yeah, I believe the cop actually, in this case, does get...
Okay, well, that's good.
The whole amount.
Well, hey, we're like way over time here, so I guess we're going to...
Which was to be expected.
Yeah, pretty much. Stefan, thanks for coming to do the show.
It's my honor to come into this beautiful studio and do this show naked.
Also known as my dining room with the fan overhead, and we're at a fold-out table in...
It's gorgeous. It is gorgeous.
In my one-bedroom apartment.
Cool. And I can't wait till we stand up naked so we can describe each other's penises to each other. Because we really haven't seen our own penises, I'm telling you.
I haven't seen my penis in a long time.
I haven't either. They say you can pinch an inch. That was the old cartoon, or the commercial. If you can pinch an inch from your side, it's time to start losing weight. We can both pinch an inch on our fupas.
Yes, pretty much.
So, yeah.
And on that note, do you have any gigs coming up you want to plug?
Well, nobody's listening, so it doesn't really matter. But I do. August 13th, I'm hosting Intimate Humor at Fulton 55.
I will be performing in that show.
He is getting crowds.
Yeah.
That thing was packed last
William
week.
Lushbaugh, yeah.
William Lushbaugh is getting crowds there. And then whenever TK's stupid-ass roast is, I'll be doing that.
TK's stupid-ass roast?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
You better pay. Freaking Armenian Mother Hubbard.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for coming to the show. Appreciate it.
Glad to do.
I am JT Foreman here with Stefan Minch. We are the Bitter Comics, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.